All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and thank you for your goodness, for your mercy. Lord, we just ask your blessing upon your word. Thank you for it. Help us be faithful to you. Again, to bring glory and honor to you. Fill us with your spirit, Lord, and just give us wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I want to turn to Matthew chapter 6. Begin in verse 5. When you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, so that they may be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have the reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father, who is in secret. And your Father, who sees in what is done in secret, will reward you. This whole beginning of this chapter is talking basically about religion, doing religion for its appearance. That's what he's talking about. It's not that we don't do a lot of these things, but there's people that their religion is all based on trying to impress other people. And that's so easy to get caught up in, is to do religious things because of what other people might think. And it is a very common thing. We're all susceptible to trying to do something just to gain the praise of our fellow man, instead of having a heart to love God no matter what anyone else would think of us, not trying to bolster our image as being a godly person or a religious person, not seeking those things, but just simply doing things that we're supposed to do because we love the Lord. And I think that's the heart of what he's trying to say here and what he's trying to teach us, that we're not trying to impress anyone. We're trying to be faithful to the Lord and do what we're supposed to do. Whenever we do what we're supposed to do, whenever we love the Lord with all our heart, we don't need man's approval. You know, a lot of times people would ask us why we don't have fellowship with a whole lot of other people. It just seems like denominations and different groups find approval from others doing the same thing, and that helps bolster them. There's just a need that people have as a church or as a body sometimes to try to impress other people so that they can get praise to justify themselves. But someone who is just following the Lord doesn't live for that praise. They don't live for that need to be justified by anyone else. And sometimes it appears like when someone's living that way, people think, well, what's wrong with you? Why aren't you seeking all this outside fellowship? Or why aren't you seeking fellowship from other places? But when you have fellowship within and you're content with that kind of fellowship, there's no need. You know, it's good to have other fellowship, and there's nothing wrong with it. But the need, just the hunger to have fellowship from another group that would honor you and give you praise, there's just no need for that. You can be on your own. It's like a husband and wife relationship. Sometimes you see couples that just try to put on a big show about how much they love each other. And then on the inside, there's really nothing there. It's just all a big show on the outside. And that's what he's trying to teach us here. And we find this a little bit later. Whenever we go on, we'll read. He uses this idea of prayer. When you pray, you don't be like the hypocrites. For they love to stand, because that's where they're seeking their approval. Then in verse 7, when you're praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do. For they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. That's why we're not interested in just memorizing a prayer or memorizing a prayer that someone else said 400 years ago or 1,000 years ago or 2,000 years ago. And just repeating that as a common prayer. This prayer that is real should come from our heart. How many times we read this verse where Jesus tells us not to use meaningless repetition, and then right below it is the Lord's Prayer, and how many people have memorized that and can just say it word for word and are doing the exact thing that he just tells us two verses ahead. And they think they've really accomplished something because they can quote the Lord's Prayer. And they say it over and over and over again. Meaningless repetition. Verse 8 says, so do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need of before you ask him. We know that whenever we're praying, that God already knows what we need. We don't have to, it's not the ability of us to speak that makes prayer effective. It's our willingness to just trust the Lord in that. And then he says, pray then in this way. He says, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. This honor that we give to the Lord, and this is getting close to what I want to talk about today, but honoring the Lord. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And he says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come and thy will be done. The will is where it's at. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The verse before talked about honoring the Lord and hallowed be thy name. And then he says, thy will be done. You know, there's talk of, I think the word in Islam, the word Islam is submission, meaning that they're submitted to God's will. That's the very meaning. That's the heart of what they are, and they're dedicated to being in submission to God's will. And as you, one of the things that I've noticed or just observed, if you look at all the different religions in the world, when you look at Islam and you see what their responsibility is according to their God's will, it's to dominate the world or to make sure everyone is in submission to God's will. Not on a willing personal basis, but to be brought into submission to God's will. And the more devout a Muslim is, or the more sincere they are in their submission to God's will, the more determined they are to bring the whole world into submission, to the point of annihilating anyone who won't submit, to the point of killing or bombing or whatever they would do to bring people into submission to their God's will. And then when you look at the Christian religion, the more devoted or the more sincere a person is to actually doing the will of God, it's exactly opposite of that. It is submitting to the Lord's will and loving your neighbor, even though they disagree with you. Loving their neighbor, even though they would oppose you and oppress you. And we see just to compare the two together, how much higher and nobler the Christian values or the things that Jesus taught are above the other gods of the world. And it's just neat whenever you look at those things and see, if I really follow whatever religion, just put it in, if you just really get to the fundamentals or to the sincere heart of what these other groups or religions believe, and you look at the way they're supposed to actually do. And I know it's in the same way as the Christian. I mean, whenever you look at the church, so many people say, Lord, Lord, but they're not really paying attention to what Jesus tells us to do. But whenever you really look at what he says to do and what it really means to be submitted to his will, how grand and how great and how far above his ways are above, or the ways, the teachings of Christ and the way his are above the rest of the world. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Whenever we think of your will be done, a lot of times we think when something happens to us, something goes wrong. You know, it takes us a while sometimes to adjust to what's gone wrong. And finally we get to the place where we might say, well, thy will be done. You know, finally we'll submit to what calamity you've brought upon us. And we'll just, okay, thy will be done. But that's not what he's talking about here when he says, thy will be done. To truly honor God, yes, there's an element of submitting to whatever happens to me, saying that, yes, he is in control and he's allowed all these things to happen to me. There's an element of that. To where we say, thy will be done. We're honoring him to a certain extent, saying that he is in control of all things. But it goes much deeper than that. Whenever we say, thy will be done, it means that we actually are pursuing his will in our life. Not just accepting what comes along, but actually pursuing what is his will for my life. Not that we have to have it all figured out, not that we have to have it determined, but to examine ourselves and seeing, is the Lord's will my will? Is the Lord's plan my plan? You know, just to bring an example out of this, whenever we see the word submission, whenever we see in the sense of a family, where it says, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as unto the Lord. When we think of that, you know, we read about the wives' responsibility and what they're supposed to do for their husbands. They're to love them. They're to honor their husbands. They're to listen to them. They're to submit to them. And so we have this challenge that, okay, I've got to do what he says. And so we just kind of scoot along in life until he tells us to do something that we might not agree with. Okay, I'll submit to that. I'll just go along with that. I will accept what he wants from me in this case. And so then we just go back to normal for a while, and pretty soon something else happens. And okay, I'll submit and I'll go along to his will. Take a deep breath and just, I'll accept his will over my life. You see the same similarities between something bad happening to us and we give God glory for it and say, okay, thy will be done. But then when you put it in the same situation where the wife to her husband and she just says, okay, I don't like what the way he determined this, but I'll go along with it. It doesn't look too pretty, does it? It doesn't look too honoring, does it? Doesn't look too submissive, does it? It's a toleration at best that someone else is above me. Is that all it means when we say, Lord, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Just a simple toleration of him being able to be God and him carrying out his plans. But what if we look at thy will be done, meaning I don't want my will anymore. I want the Lord's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. How much more honorable is that? That my will is actually submitted to God's will. So that my life is actually not about my own plans anymore, but about his plans. We take that, let's bring it into the home. The wife, you know, she's got her own ideas. She's got her own plans. She's got her own, and okay, he tells me something, so now I'm going to do it just because I'm supposed to submit to him. But what if she goes another step further and just says, what is my husband's will? What is my husband's will? And finds that out. Learns what her husband's will is. And now instead of just tolerating whenever he throws his will at her, like she didn't know what it was already in the first place, but now she knows what he wants already. And now her life is revolved around doing his will. So that I don't have my plans anymore other than what he wants me to have for my plans. That just sounds awful. That just sounds terrible. But whenever you make your will his will, it's a wonderful thing. That's when you have harmony in the home. That's when the children know that the two breathe as one. The two hearts beat as one. Because the bride's will is the husband's will. That's what Jesus, when he was on this earth, how many times do we see him not doing his own will? We see in the garden, and I don't know how many times I've talked about this, that in the garden, the night before he was to be killed, he didn't want to do this. It was because it was a very, very difficult thing. It wasn't because he just, okay, Lord, whatever you want, you can do whatever. That's not what he wanted. He wanted to do the Lord's will. He prayed until he wanted to do the Lord's will. When he said, Lord, not my will be done, but thine. It wasn't just a toleration of some rule over him. It was a, I want your will to be done. So that the next day when they nailed him to that cross, he wasn't screaming and fussing, get me out of here. Fact is, the Bible says he could have called 10,000 angels and delivered him. He could have done that. Could have saved himself from all of that. But he didn't. He accepted the punishment. He accepted the path that was before him. And made it his will to do that. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is what it means, not just to be a hypocrite about it. That's what it means to truly want His will on this earth. You see that in a picture. Children, oh, I got to do what Dad says. I'll do it. I'll do it. Yeah, I'll do it. Dad's making me. I don't have any choice. I'm submitting to him. You just will be out on a street corner just praying out loud, real, real loud, where everybody will think, boy, that's a religious guy. Or that's a religious girl. Just big, making a big fuss. You go up and say, oh, there's somebody. Look, there's a whole crowd around that poor person. I'm going to get some money out and go give it to them right in front of everybody. And they'll just, oh, boy. They'll really think I'm something. What do you think? Is that very impressive to God? You see the relationship between all of this? Whenever he talks about his will. Yeah, I'll go do it because Dad wants me to. I'll sing because everybody else wants me to. Well, you just as well be out there looking for some crowd to try to impress. Put your will in it. Put your heart in it. Give yourself so that it's not just what I gotta do, but thy will be done. Find out, how does Dad want this done? How does the Father want this done? How does the brethren want this done? How does my husband want this done? How does my husband want me to run the house? You get interested in what he wants. You get interested in his way and his will. Then you're honoring. You get interested in what your father wants and how he wants to do things. Then you're honoring in a true sense. Thy kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. Do you think you're just going to tolerate things in heaven? How fun's that going to be? Can you imagine people all gloomy in heaven because, oh, God's making me do this today. God wants me to do this today. How fun would that be in heaven? It won't. God's not going to follow you around all day in your little dark cloud because you're having to do His will there. It just isn't going to be. Heaven is for the willing. People that can love the Lord's will. Not just thy will be done, but what is your will? Thy will be done. I'm going to do it. On earth as it is in heaven. For thine is the kingdom. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. All right. Anyone have anything you want to share?
A parent knows if a child has grown to maturity because a child starts thinking ahead of what the parent wants and does it. Mm-hmm. I always kind of feel it the same way when God watches us. He knows that we're actually wanting to do and live for Him.
Right.
Start doing it.
Amen.
Walk inside.
Yeah.
Thank you. Oh!